Well, the day they're open varies, doesn't it, from country to country. So some do it on Christmas Eve, some do it on Christmas Day. Some do it on December 5, some do it on December 6th. Some even do it on January the 6th. And the place that they're left varies. So sometimes in stockings hung over a fireplace, sometimes under the Christmas tree, some in shoes, some in boots. So the traditions vary from country to country, and they vary from household to household. But all over the world, families and friends, at Christmas, give each other gifts. So Christmas is a time for giving. So in our family, we have a secret Santa on Christmas Eve, and then we have stockings on Christmas Day morning, and then we have gifts under the tree after lunch. So we sort of cover all the bases in our family. Christmas, it's a time for giving. But where does this whole giving tradition come from? Who started it? There are stories, aren't there, about a guy called St. Nicholas, who was apparently a 4th century bishop in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. But actually, the person who started the whole giving tradition is God himself. A verse in the New Testament I put on your sheets there from 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. It says this: thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. At Christmas, we give gifts to each other to remember and celebrate the greatest gift of all, God's gift to us. So we're just going to consider together for a few minutes three questions. First question: what is God's gift? Actually, everything we have is a gift from God, when you think about it. Acts 17, 25 says, God himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. I mean, that's pretty comprehensive, isn't it? It covers most of the bases, doesn't leave much out. Life and breath and everything. You breathing now? There's a person next to you breathing, giving a poke, see if they're still with us. Your next breath is a gift from God. And if he stopped giving that gift, it would be game over. Yeah, they'd be carrying you out of here in a box. There'd be no Christmas lunch for you. And James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights. So as the Harvest Hymn acknowledges, it says, all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. So everything we have is from God. Even if we don't acknowledge it, it's still true. So everything is gift, including our abilities. We might like to think it's all down to us. You know, it's all our hard work, all our effort. But the name says it all, that our abilities we call gifts for a reason. They're gifts from God. One verse in the Bible says, what do you have that you did not receive? There's a German guy called Olli Seidler, who you probably haven't heard of, who has taken the rowing world by storm. Okay, until 3 years ago, this guy had never stepped into a rowing boat. And now he's world champion. And he's going to be going for gold in Tokyo this next year. Does that show that you can do anything if you put your mind to it? No, it doesn't. Olli is 6'8". He weighs 103 kilograms. His grandfather was an Olympic rowing gold medalist. So was his auntie. His father and his sister were junior world champions. I mean, the guy was born in the right family with the right genes and the right physique. It's all gift. And if you had happened to be born in the 9th century in an obscure village, your life would look very different to what it looks now. So everything we have is a gift from God. And Christmas is a good time to acknowledge that and give thanks for that. But God's special gift to us is Jesus. That's what this verse is talking about. Thanks be to God, it says, for his indescribable gift. John chapter 3, verse 16, a verse which some people call the Bible in a nutshell, sums it all up, says this: God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So Jesus is God's special Christmas gift to us. Gift wrapped in a box, wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And round his ankle, a little tag which said, from God to you, with your name on it. So that's the first question. What is God's gift? Answer, it's Jesus. Second question, what is God's gift like? Well, what does the verse say? Anyone tell me from that verse what gift, God's gift is like? Just check you're still with us. Thanks be to God for his. Indescribable gift. Thank you very much. God's gift is indescribable. A friend of mine is the minister of another church, and a couple pitched up from overseas, and my friend and his wife very kindly put them up in their guest room while they were finding somewhere to live. It started to become rather awkward. Days became weeks, weeks became months, and they just didn't take a hint, and they didn't pay a penny towards anything. And then after 9 months, they finally decided that, well, maybe it's time to move on. On the day that they left, they handed over a boxed gift. And my friend's wife opened it as they all stood watching in the kitchen. And it was a box of four plastic glasses, tumblers, from Asda, costing £1.99. And my friend and his wife were speechless. They were lost for words. Some gifts are indescribable, as in they are indescribably bad. They are, I mean, it's just woeful, just insultingly cheap and naff. But God's gift to us is indescribably good. It leaves us lost for words because it is so amazing. In what sense? Well, firstly, God's gift is indescribable because it is so unique. It's so unique that in Jesus, God himself became man. At a point in time, in a particular place. The wonder of what is called the incarnation. We just had it read, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus the God-man, 100% God, 100% man. Not chili con carne, but God con carne. God in flesh, God incarnate. There's a group called Truly Experiences, and they offer some quite unique Christmas gifts, so they claim. And one of them I spotted is called Defy Death Road. It's mountain biking for two in Bolivia down the world's most dangerous road. 3,000 foot drop on your left, sheer drop, as you hurtle down some dirt track on some rental bike. I suppose it's the kind of gift you give someone you don't like very much. But God's gift is truly a one-off in history. Nothing like it before, nothing like it since. The gift of the Son of God himself become man. Secondly, God's gift is indescribable because it is so costly. It's so costly. I noticed that the same outfit offer you another Christmas gift, which is basically 5 nights, exclusive use of your own private island in the Bahamas for up to 6 people. And it costs £67,000. Now, that's a costly gift. And if someone gave you that at Christmas, I guess you would be lost for words. But the costliness of God's gift was not financial, but it was costly in terms of relationship and effort and suffering. Cost to God the Father as he sent his beloved Son into the world. Cost to the Son who left heaven to become one of us and to die for us. Doing that knowing that the crib would lead to the cross. Knowing that within a few years he'd be hanging there saying, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? As he took on our sin and he picked up the bill. For my 50th birthday, my wife gave me a bedspread that she had made. A quilt made up of goodness knows how many little squares which had been lovingly designed and carefully cut out and painstakingly stitched together. Goodness knows how many woman hours was invested in that quilt. Some gifts leave you thinking, I can't believe you go to such trouble for me. How much more God's gift to us? Can you believe that he would go through that for you? Such trouble for you and for me. That he loves us that much. Thirdly, God's gift is so indescribable because it's so undeserved. The passage in 2 Corinthians this verse is taken from is talking about God's grace. Grace is love towards those who don't deserve it. In fact, it's love towards those who deserve the very opposite, who deserve judgment. There's a tradition that's grown up around Christmas according to which Father Christmas only brings presents to children who have been good during the past year. And if you've been bad, then apparently he's supposed to bring you what?
Coal.
A lump of coal. That's right, a lump of coal. Well, what do you think you deserve from God? A nice prezzy or a lump of coal?
Coal.
Well, there you go. And your mother and father would say the same. How much attention have you paid God and his commands over the past year? The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. Would that be a fair review of 2019 for you? A different God might have said, you know what? Stuff it. You know, stuff them. I'm going to leave them to their own devices. I'm going to move on. And we'll start again with a promising new startup planet in the next galaxy. Or a different God might have said, tell you what, enough's enough. Okay, enough's enough. I've had it with them. They've had their chance. I'm now just going to zap that planet with my death ray and be done with it. Let's just, you know, wipe them off the face of the universe. But the God who was there looked at our rebel world with love. And he came to rescue us, those who didn't want to know. Fourthly and lastly there, God's gift is indescribable because it is so perfect. It is exactly what we need. One article online lists the top 10 most pointless, most useless Christmas gifts. So one of them was, in place of having your TV remote, you can get this remote control cushion. It's ugly. It's difficult to use. And if you just happen to lean on it or sit on it by mistake, which is the sort of thing you normally do with a cushion, it'll change channels. Or another thing in this list was hand warmers to wear at your computer. So it's basically these fingerless mittens in the shape of slices of toast. And each one is powered by a USB cable, which sort of gets in the way as you're trying to type. Now, unless your work desk happens to be out in the garden, why would you need it? But God's gift is perfect. It's exactly what we need. 1 John 4:14 says this, the Father sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. Well, that's just what we need. We need rescue. We need rescue from our wrongdoing and the judgment that deserves. There's that Christmas song, Mary, Did You Know?, which has the line, did you know this child that you delivered will soon deliver you? Well, actually, she did know that, but that is what we all need. Deliverance, rescue, salvation. It is our greatest need. God's perfect gift to us will be useful to us throughout our lives and beyond and into eternity. One survey revealed that a third of children's Christmas presents will not be played with after December 25. In fact, most of those toys will be ditched even before the turkey hits the table. But God's gift is for life and for death and for beyond. Because through him we experience forgiveness from God and relationship with God. We're delivered from hell for heaven. So Jesus is not the kind of gift which leaves us asking, now, when am I ever going to use that? He's not that kind of gift. So what is God's gift? Answer, Jesus. What is God's gift like? Answer, indescribable. So unique and costly and undeserved and perfect. Final question, how should we respond? Answer, we should say thank you. Look at our verse again. It says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now, even kids get this, don't they? Kids soon learn that with a gift, what you do is you receive it, you say thank you, you enjoy it. They get that. And it's the same with God's gift to us, with Jesus. We're to receive it, we're to say thank you, we're to enjoy it. We had it in our John reading, John 1:12, says of Jesus, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's what it means to believe in Jesus. It means to receive him personally and say thank you to God. What if we do that? If we do receive him, well, then we get Jesus. We get all God's blessings. that are ours in him. Every spiritual blessing. Life in the present, hope for the future. What if we don't receive him? Well, it's a big deal, isn't it, if you don't receive him? You ever refused a gift someone has given you? I mean, just imagine later today, fast forward, someone hands you a Christmas gift and you say, no, I don't want it. I refuse to take it. It's going to be quite awkward, isn't it? You know, you're not just rejecting the gift, you're rejecting the giver. And rejecting God, the giver, is a pretty big deal. If we won't receive God's gift, then we don't get Jesus and we don't get all God's blessings in him. 1 John 5:11 says this, God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life, neither this side of the grave nor beyond. Now, that's pretty black and white, isn't it? Now, why would anyone do that? Why would anyone reject this gift? Well, there are various reasons people reject God's gift of Jesus. Some say, I just don't believe it. I don't believe Jesus is God's gift to us. But then the question is, well, who do you think he really is then? I mean, he himself claimed to be God's gift, sent from heaven, and he gave plenty of evidence to back up the claim. Was he lying? Was he deluded? Is that the kind of person he was? A tourist came to the barge the other day and we had a fairly typical conversation, got chatting. This guy said he thought that Jesus was a great leader. And when I put to him that Jesus claimed to be more than that, he claimed to be God, the Son, become man, he said, well, Jesus just got that bit wrong. But if you're not from heaven, how can you say you are from heaven and still be a great leader? I mean, it just doesn't add up. Some people say, I don't need Jesus. They say, well, you know, if there is a God, I reckon it'll all be fine when I meet him, all right on the night, you know, I'm good enough. But if God sent him, it's because we need him. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Some say, I don't want Jesus. They say, you know, I like my life as it is, I don't want to change. But the change Jesus brings is good change. It's making us the people God created us to be. And the refusal to change is actually the root of our human problem, that running life as we see fit is the very essence of what the Bible calls sin. And it leaves us on a collision course with God. And some people say, you know what, I couldn't be bothered. I couldn't be bothered. There's this growing trend of what people have called apatheism. So a theist believes that God exists, an atheist believes God doesn't exist, an agnostic believes we don't know if God exists, and an apatheist believes it doesn't matter if God exists. But if what God is holding out to us in Jesus is of no interest, eternal life, peace, forgiveness, relationship with God, clear conscience, hope, meaning, answers to life, big question, rescue. If none of that is of interest, can I say, well, what does matter? What is more important? Imagine at the end of today, end of Christmas Day, there's one present lying under the tree, still left there, still wrapped, still unopened. And it's still there tomorrow on Boxing Day. And then it's still there when the tree is taken out and thrown away. And it's still there in the corner of your room throughout 2020. And the gift tag says, from God to you. And it's got your name on it. People do it for different reasons. Don't believe it. Don't need it. Don't want it. Couldn't be bothered. But wouldn't Christmas be a good time to take another look? To take a closer look? To at the very least pick up the box and give it a bit of a shake? There are lots of resources on the red table over there for you to take away for free to help you to do just that. There are leaflets explaining the Christian message. There's a book of stories of people who have received this gift of Jesus, the way it changed their lives. On your seats, you have one of the gospel accounts. Do take them away and take a closer look. Let me close with a final story. There was back in 2013, there was an IT worker from Wales, a guy called James Howells, and he dismantled his laptop and he sold the parts on eBay. But he kept the hard drive in a drawer. But then he ended up throwing away the hard drive. He said, I got distracted by family and moving house. And it turns out that stored on the hard drive was Bitcoin, which is now worth £63 million. He's wanting to dig up his local landfill site where apparently it's buried. How unbearably eternally sad to do that with God's gift. To put it in a drawer and then put it in the bin and to get distracted by other things and to end up looking back one day with regret, realizing how priceless it is, but that it's now buried and it's out of reach. As we head back home in a moment to give and to receive presents, may we be full of thanksgiving to God for his Christmas gift to us. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. A gift for receiving and a gift for sharing.